The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Second hour, the story of this week in the college football world has been the Jaden Rashada situation at Florida. That and a lot of coaching news that we'll talk to with our friend Chris Lowe of ESPN. Chris, thanks so much for joining us. I realize Florida has now released Rashada, but as someone who has covered a lot of college football in your time, how would you describe what we have been watching down in Gainesville?
Pretty crazy, Paul, and I think maybe a year of college football with the portal and the NIL and everything else, all the changing landscape. I was talking to two different coaches today. I don't think this will be the last time we see something like this happen. Everyone's trying to figure it out, and I don't blame the kid whatsoever. I mean, the system is what it is, and, you know, you've got collectives, marketing firms, whatever, saying, hey, we're going to pay you this much money, or this is the deal, and people don't follow up. And I don't bet you, but I've got property, beachfront property in Missouri that I'll sell you as quickly as I believe some of the figures are out there right now.
I've been looking for a nice place in Branson, Chris, I agree. And by the way, I don't know where. I mean, you're one of the top reporters around. Where do these numbers come from?
Agents, attorneys, people, middle people who are trying to broker these deals and are hoping to get those figures out there, trying to get other people to jump aboard. And sort of play this game of, hey, I can get you this deal at that school, that deal at that school. Come with me. Look what I've got. I've got this guy who's going to get $13 million. Another guy's going to get $6 million. $13 million for a kid who's never taken a snap in a college game? I don't buy it. Call me naive, Paul. I don't buy it.
No, it's real money. and when you say this in theory, but – they obviously got him over Miami, so you can deduct it any way you want, whether he just liked Gainesville more than Coral Gables or Miami got outbid.
Oh, I'm not saying there's not money involved, and we'd have our head in the sand if we didn't think money's been involved in college football for 100 years, but I don't believe it was that type of cash. Right. I think it's been inflated. I think it's I call BS again on some of the figures, the way they've been inflated out there. You know, you go all the way back to the kid from California who went to Tennessee. The report was that he got $8 million. I don't think it was that much. And I do think that there are large chunks of money that are out there as part of these deals. I absolutely believe that. But I think some of them, not all of them, but some of these figures you're hearing are definitely inflated.
With Chris Lowe. Chris, let's get to a couple of these coaching searches. Alabama has one opening. They're likely to have another. You're extremely well plugged into what happens in these worlds of coaches making moves. What do you hear about Alabama right now?
I think you've got two openings. I think Bill O'Brien is gone. I think he's headed to the NFL. I'd be very, very surprised if he hasn't already told Nick Saban that. So you're going to have the OC and a DC, which Nick's been pretty accustomed to the last few years of having that, sort of juggling those positions. The new OC would be, I think this is right, Paul, would be the fourth different one they've had in the last 6 years. We'll see Loxley, Sarkisian. Yeah, so this would be O'Brien and then the new guy. So
it seemed like Daboll was there for 1 year, wasn't he?
He was there right before – either before Locks or right after. Yeah, he was certainly in there. So maybe 5 in 7 years or something like that. But there have been a ton of them. And this is not new ground for Nick Saban. I think offensively, again, this is all assuming that Bill is gone, and I do believe that he will not be back at Alabama and will be in the NFL next year. Nick has typically been more willing to go outside the box for his offensive coordinator and bring in people that he necessarily hasn't had a pass with. I mean, you go back to Jim McElwain. Brian Daboll. Remember, Brian Daboll, they bring him in. He's a tight ends coach with the Patriots. Everybody's like, huh, who? He's bringing a tight ends coach? Now, granted, there was the Belichick connection, but I think a lot of people were scratching their heads and saying, I don't know about this one. Well, turns out Daboll's a pretty good football coach. So I think, again, whoever he gets with this hire, he will do his homework. He'll talk to a lot of people, and not just people that – this is where I think he's so good. He won't just talk to people he's thinking about hiring. He will talk to others that he trusts, that he knows, that know about these candidates, who've gone against him, who've worked with him. There are a lot of people out there that I think he will talk to. I think Jeff Levy's a guy that makes a lot of sense. He's coached in the SEC. He runs tempo. He runs that kind of offense now that everybody is looking to run, and it's harder to stop. You know, Nick likes guys, Paul, that he wants to bring in guys that he's had trouble stopping their systems or their offenses, and that's certainly Lovey's one. I think the guy down at Tulane is one to watch. He did a really good job. I think he just got promoted. Nagel is one. Colin Klein at Kansas State did a really good job this past year. And I think what Kleiman's done there, period, at Kansas State speaks for itself. So those are just, you know, some possibilities. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people out there that he won't hesitate to go talk to somebody in the NFL as well.
Talking to Chris Lowe. So that's the speculation on the offensive side. And we all know that Bill O'Brien has been wooed by various NFL clubs. Let's talk to the one that Nick Saban takes a little different view of, and that's the defensive coordinator. Pete Golding leaves. He goes to Ole Miss. You tell me. I mean, I've read that Saban really did not want him to go. Is that correct?
No, I don't think he did at all. I think it was his preference that he stayed. I mean, you know, Nick had put a lot of time and effort, and they had several years together. I don't think he was, you know, I know there was some narrative out there that he pushed him out. I don't think that was the case at all. And when he did go, I think there were conversations between the two about why he was going. I think there was some family considerations there for Pete, was one of the reasons. And so I don't think Nick was completely caught off guard by it. But I think given a choice, he would have much rather him stayed. So I think that's where we are with that. And you're right, though. The coordinator position is a little bit different because you're coming in as the co-coordinator, because we know whose defense it is. Nick coaches the secondary, and whoever else coaches the rest of it. But he rarely, Paul, has gone outside his tree to bring in his defensive coordinator. Now, Golding was a little bit. But, you know, typically he wants somebody in there that he knows his defense, has coached his defense, run his defense, guys he's had connections with over the past. That's sort of been his M.O. But I think Nick's savvy enough and seasoned enough that he's not just going to pencil himself into that. But I do think at the end of the day it'll be somebody that he has some type of tie with on defense.
Chris, I realize you can throw a bunch of names out there, and I'm not asking you to do that, but just in terms of the one that everybody is talking about, and you probably know more about this one than anyone, but how would you describe the situation with Jeremy Pruitt right now? What is he hireable? If he is, do you think that's a good fit? What do you know about Jeremy Pruitt right now?
Well, I'll start with your first question. Is he hireable? I believe, based on who I've talked to, that Alabama and Nick Saban feel like he is hireable. Now, I'm not saying he's going to hire him, but that they could do that. What kind of fit is he? Well, I mean, the last time Alabama had a top five defense, Jeremy Pruitt was a defensive coordinator. I know Nick has a lot of confidence in Jeremy. They coached together for quite a number of years. Jeremy is a really good defensive football coach. Now, does Nick want to invite that kind of scrutiny? Open up that type of hornet's nest to bring him in. Here's the other thing. Tennessee hasn't heard back from the NCAA on their case. I think that's probably coming pretty soon, Paul, in the next couple of weeks. So if you're Alabama or anybody right now that wanted to hire Jeremy Pruitt, you're probably going to want to see what type of penalty he's going to be facing, because essentially if you hire somebody, and again, let's just say any school, in that situation, you're absorbing whatever penalties they get. So if this coach, ex-coach, I won't even use Jeremy's name, but if ex-coach gets a multiple-year show cause or he gets a multi-game suspension, then you, the school that hires him, absorbs those penalties. Again, you know, all those are those things or that Nick Saban wants to do. I mean, I can't really answer for him, but I would certainly not rule out Jeremy Pruitt. I think the other name that would be right in the middle of this is Todd Grantham. And Todd fits sort of what Saban has done a bunch over the years, is bring guys in as analysts. He's done it more on offense than he has defense, actually. But bring in analysts who've been in the league, who have coached at a high level, who've done it at several different places, certainly in the SEC, and then sort of have those guys in waiting, and then when he's got an opening, make him a coordinator. And I think that's what would happen with Todd. Todd's coached, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi State. You know, he was with Nick at Michigan State way back. And you talk to people around Nick and inside that building, I know he's got a lot of faith in Todd Grantham. It feels like he's a really good football coach. Now, Todd got fired his last job. Some coaches, Paul, you know, would be reluctant to bring in a coach who got fired his last stop. I don't think Nick Saban thinks that way. If he feels like a guy's the best fit and the best guy he can get for his job, I don't think he cares one bit what happened in his last game.
Chris, before you go, I would like to ask you about Nick Saban, because you have a unique relationship with him that many reporters do not have. And I don't mean anything by that other than that you have spent enough time around him to be able to do what we all try to do, but you can do a lot better having been in close proximity, is to kind of figure out what's on his mind. You've described his coaching process here in terms of both coordinator positions, but in relation to the upcoming season and where he is in his career, you have been that one voice who has said he's not going anywhere, and that was years ago, and you've been correct on every prediction. How would you describe or encapsulate where he is right now, having seen what is going on around him, especially in Athens?
I think that fire is burning as brightly as it ever has. And he might be 71. He didn't want to hear that. He says that's just a number. But I can promise you, Nick Saban does not in any way, shape, or form want to walk away from football after what happened this season. Now, I say this in jest. He had the audacity to only win 11 football games. But you're right. Georgia, a guy at Georgia who was his guy, his defensive coordinator, has just won two national championships in Kirby Smart. He knows that. He doesn't need anybody to tell him that. The game has changed. The landscape has changed. The thing that Nick has done best, in my opinion, is he's changed with the game. You know, he didn't like the fast offenses, the tempo. He didn't like the portal, but he's been able to use both of those to his advantage. He does not like the NIL. But guess what? Who just had the number one recruiting class in college football? Alabama. So I think without question, he's as motivated as he's ever been. And he's a self-motivated guy anyway, as you know. But Georgia winning two in a row, Kirby Smart being the guy who's orchestrated that terrific run, I think you'll see a Nick Saban this coming year, and you've already seen a recruiting trail who is as invested as he's ever been, and he's always been 1,000% invested.
Nobody better to talk about this stuff than Chris Lowe from ESPN. Many thanks, Chris. You be well. We'll talk to you soon.
You too, Paul. Take care.
Great stuff. I could listen to Chris all day. And we will continue with your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back. Let's continue. That was interesting what Chris said there. Todd Grantham, would that be a name that would excite Alabama fans to replace Pete Golding? A guy that fans literally rose up in complete and total revolt in Gainesville. Let's continue with Dave, who is in Tennessee. Dave?
Hi, Paul.
Hey there. Good afternoon.
Hey, good. How you doing, sir?
Very well. Thank you.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. Want to talk about a couple of things, just a couple of comments first off. Going back maybe 3 weeks or whatever, when the lady from ESPN, who is obviously a huge Georgia fan, and then you spoke about Laura, and then Larry called in and obviously made an idiotic statement. My opinion on the two are they're fabulous. They're, you know, would be great. Show hosts on Fox or CNN or wherever, but I don't ever hear them really talk anything about football other than ask somebody a question. So to say their knowledge is better than everybody else's that ever calls into the show, I think is a little ridiculous, but that's my opinion. Okay. And then I thought when Larry called in and apologized that you tried to just drive him down and down and down and down, and I thought his apology was sincere, even though he did make an idiotic comment. But those are my opinions. But here's the thing.
Hey,
really
Dave, one thing about that. I agree with you. I mishandled the Larry apology very much, and I have expressed that to him since.
Good, good. Well, I know, and I've seen him call in since and everything. And I have, over the years, won't go into details, but your show has helped me so much. But also, the one thing that you did say that day that offended me greatly is you said something about somebody coming out of their shed or going into the shed to make a telephone call in the South.
Right.
You know, I grew up in the South, and our lawnmowers were kept in the shed. You know, all our rotary tillers and things that we did our garden with. So that offended me. You know,
well, Dave,
do you mow your own yard?
Dave, I grew up in the South, too, and our lawnmower was in the shed as well. So I was offended by my comment as well.
Okay.
Can you offend yourself? I offended myself.
You're
self-offended. I have offended myself so many times. It's not even funny.
I am so sick of myself
anyway,
right now,
hey,
Dave. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Hey,
take myself to the show.
One quick question. you know, the NIL thing is crazy, and obviously I'm a Tennessee fan, and I know the deal with ECO with the supposedly $8 million deal, and who knows if that's right, wrong,
right.
True, whatever. But got a question. All right. We paid for our daughter to go to college, get an education, and had to pay all of her expenses and everything else, you know, the entire time. All right. these guys are getting a scholarship, and that's worth a whole lot of money. So, you know, if that's not enough, then let them get drafted out of high school, and let's go see how they compete with the big boys for the money in the NFL. You know, let's see how they handle that. You know, is that an option? That's the question I have.
It's a good question. Dave, thank you very much. I'm glad we cleared up the shed comment. But I, as far as the NIL, I also agree with Chris. We don't know where these numbers are coming from. And by the way, if you're a reporter writing about a player going to Florida or Tennessee, and some guy tells you we signed him to $13 million, that's how can you corroborate that story? So that's where a lot of misinformation has come from. But thank you for the call. Let's talk to James, who is in Texas, and you are on the air. Hello, James.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there.
And I was going to touch base on that NIL. But what I'm wondering is, you know, the adults are in charge here. What do if you as a reporter or journalist would ask the athletic directors / presidents, anybody that's in charge of these universities, how can they justify what they are allowing to happen? I think those kids should be paid, but you got to have be realistic. You know, you don't need, and I don't know the specifications. You know, it'd be interesting to know how much they're getting. Are they getting an ungodly amount? And you know, those poor kids, some of them don't have anything. Are they prepared for taxes and all that kind of stuff? I guess it's a gift. But it, you know, somebody's got to be held responsible for their behavior. I shouldn't say behavior. Their monies that they're getting, and that's to me, that's the athletic directors and presidents of the university that approved all of this. It's not the kid. It's not the coach, probably.
No, I agree. By the way, and James, we have not heard from the athletic director of Florida, and I would like to because. I mean, he can have some deniability, but I think it's time somebody down there spoke up about what has been a really ugly mess.
But I'm talking, Paul, I'm talking about in general, not
no,
even
no,
just
No, I hear you, but all we hear so far from athletic directors is they're hands off. We don't know what's going on over there. And I'm highly skeptical of you. If you're the athletic director at any school, you better know what's going on in and around your campus.
Right. Well, I'm just talking about in general. That somebody's making the decisions that it's an unlimited amount that these kids can get. Like I said, they all deserve to get some kind of. Some of them can't go home; they don't have any cash. You know, I'm not arguing that.
Well,
but
James,
listen,
thanks for the call. Let's reboot here for just a second. All these guys are getting something now. I mean, some of these collectors are paying thousands of dollars to every player. So the days of don't have any money to buy dinner are over. They got money for dinner. They're also getting stipends. I mean, there's a lot of money being pumped into college campuses today before you get to the big NIL deal. So let's not forget that. Let's take a break. We've Chris Lowe talking about who could be next at Alabama and Nick Saban's future. Very interesting comments there. Ross Dellinger later on. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Freddie is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Freddie.
Hey, can you hear me, Paul?
I can.
So a month ago, I called in. I have a buddy that's a booster, and he was telling me, and I think I related to you, that Pete Golden would not be fired.
Right.
Well, I talked to him last week. This is a scenario. If you allow me, I like to run it by you. He says offensive coordinator will Joe Brady. Defensive coordinator would be Glenn Schumann and Jeremy Pruitt as off-the-field analysts. I'd like to have your thoughts on that.
Well, you may be right. Both names have been mentioned. Chris Lowe a minute ago mentioned Jeff Lebby's name. Pruitt's the one I think that we don't know the answer to, and it's expected that Tennessee is close, perhaps as early as next week, to receive a report back from the NCAA. There we will know exactly what the charges against Pruitt are, or the sanctions against Pruitt. So that will make the decision easier. But Schumann is a co-coordinator at Georgia. I'm sure he'd like to have his own shop at Alabama. He's already won the national championship at Georgia. So I think that's a name, both names, to keep your eyes on. Both are very young and would bring a lot of youth to the coaching room at Alabama. Redbone is up next.
Hey, Paul, what's going on, man?
Hey, Redbone.
Hey, Paul, I heard you talking about some of the good Alabama basketball teams the other day.
Yes.
And I don't know if you were there at that time, because I've been running with you for a while, Paul, but the CM Newton team that had, Leon Douglas, T.R. Don, Anthony Murray, I believe it was Ricky Brown and Keith McCoy.
Yeah,
Redbone,
I was in college at the time, and I was friends with CM much later, so I know what you're talking about. I believe this was the 76 season.
Yeah, man, like that was a fire team there because they played Indiana, I think.
Yeah, here's the deal. It just shows you how screwed up this thing is now versus it was then. Alabama probably had the second best team in the whole country, but because the regions were regional, Alabama had to go to the Sweet 16 and play Indiana, which was undefeated and ended up being...
Yeah, they played North Carolina that year, too, with Phil Ford and Kupchak.
You're right. And Bob Knight said afterwards that Alabama had the best team other than them in the country. And they never got out of the Sweet 16. And today they would be probably the number two seed in the entire tournament and you're right, though. That I remember that team very well.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to tell you this, then I'm going to let you go.
Yes, sir.
But that dude that just called from Arkansas, you seen Arkansas play, man?
They are struggling.
No, man, they wrestle a whole lot. They bring their wrestling team instead of their basketball team to the doggone arena. It's basketball, not wrestling.
Well, Redbone, will Coach Musselman's team be on Raw tonight?
Who they got tonight?
Well, no, I mean, WWE's on Friday night.
Oh, yeah, Paul, turn it over there. Tell Peter, man. I'm telling you, and they'll probably win the bout, too, because...
Like Triple H and Musselman on the same in the ring together.
Hey, man, look at man. You go up there to that little bull palace they got up there. Man, you're subject to get about 43 fouls called on you to five. Because when Alabama went up there...
Hey, Redbone, you said you've been with me for a while. When did you first start following us here?
Back at the post town.
Oh,
when you
my goodness. You're one of those.
Ground, Paul.
Hey, that's cred
right
to me.
Right out the bear left. You came there, what, like 82 or something like that?
No, I got there right before Bear left.
Yeah. And Paul, my dad, he used to buy the post town all the time. And he would come on, man, they talking about that doggone fine bomb. I thought it was a guy that worked with it. Find out it was you, Paul, writing them articles in the hell.
Man, I'm glad you said that, because I can't convince any of these guys I work with now that I've ever done anything other than sit in front of a camera and snarl
Paul,
all day.
Like, they think you're a Bama homer, but we know better. But, like, my dad made a peace with you once you came on TV. He said, you know, Paul, he all right.
Hey, Redbone, back then in the 80s, I mean, I had death threats coming from Alabama fans, not anybody else.
Hey, Paul, from a couple of wives, too, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I have
We ain't gonna go there.
Well, no, I've battled a few wives before, and
I know.
And by the way, you never win those battles.
Yeah, I know. Okay, Paul, have a good day, man.
That would be a funny book, The Wives I've Battled. And everybody would think it's about my own personal life, and it would be the wives of coaches. Yeah, most people remember back in the day the wife of a coach accosting me in front of 15,000 people. There's video of that somewhere. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We are back, and Trey is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today, my friend?
Hey, Trey.
Hey, Paul, a guy from Chicago called in and he was talking about investigating Harbaugh over a 50 cent or $1.50 hamburger. Paul, I hadn't had a good hamburger in 3 months. Can you find out where I can get one for $1.50, please?
I think the best thing is for me to drop one off at your hospital room.
Hey, Paul, the kid from Florida, the $13 million deal that he was supposed to have gotten, what is it exactly that this kid was supposed to have done to receive $13 million when he's never been on the field? I guess that's what's confusing me about this NIL deal. I'm not so sure what these kids are supposed to be doing to get this money. And I'll hang up and listen in. Thank you,
Trey. Yeah, Trey, there's no rhyme or reason to why anyone. Florida needed a win in recruiting, and there was a lot of internal pressure. Thank you for the call. Ken is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ken.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Listen, I wanted to ask you about this. I woke up this morning, and that Carmine McClain, his first thing I heard was, Carmine McClain had went to Colorado. What's your take on that, Paul?
Yeah, he was supposed to go Miami, I think. Yeah.
He's the
top cornerback in the country who committed to Coach Prime. I think it's pretty obvious what happened there. He got a better deal.
Well, that's exactly what I want to ask you about. When you say better deal, are you telling me that Colorado can put out enough money, so-called or whatever, to get a kid like that instead of someone like Miami or Alabama or whatever?
Well, you wouldn't think so, but don't undersell the appeal of Coach Prime. I mean, he's the hottest name in coaching right now, and a lot of people want to be on board. But no, I would agree. I don't know what they're doing out there, but they're obviously doing something, because that's how he built his reputation at Jackson State when he took the player away from Florida State.
Well, it's kind of like the other deal I wanted to ask you about is, you know, when the defensive coordinator from Alabama, what's his name? I can't even think
Pete Golding.
Golden. Yeah, well, the week after Alabama played in the Sugar Bowl, he was on a podcast, and he said, oh, no, in fact, we're fixing to sign another contract with the University of Alabama. No, I ain't going nowhere. And, of course, the next week, it comes out he leaving, which I was glad he was anyway. But my point being, you can't trust one of these one of these coaches to tell you the truth and nothing in the world.
No, Ken, I used to be gullible when I was young, a reporter, and coaches would say things and I would write them down literally, and then finally I realized that they are, you have to decide what they're saying makes any sense or not. But yeah, I mean, every coach, I mean, it's against the law to mislead or tell a lie while you're under oath. It is not to tell a reporter something. And it just seems like all these coaches figure they're only reporters. What difference does it make if I tell them the truth?
Right, right. I got you. Well, all right, Paul, those are
thank you, Ken. I still believe in the truth, don't you, Randy?
Yes, very much.
Having a great time today, by the way. Dustin is up next in Tulsa.
Good morning from Tulsa, Paul. How are you, man?
Very well, thank you.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, I don't know if anybody's asked you this yet, but who are going to be the OC and the DC at Alabama?
Pete Golding and Bill O'Brien.
I'm totally kidding.
They're going to come back.
I did want to mention something about Kendall Browse, but the real reason for my call, I just wanted to issue a very, sincere thank you to you. It dawned on me yesterday as I was listening to the show, I never say thank you when you pick up my call, but I really do appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate
for
the show. And
Dustin,
the community
thank you
and
for everything. Saying thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Paul. I mean, it's very nice to be here, and I appreciate always, being able to get on and talk and ask questions and things like that. And you're really thankful for you. I think a lot of people are. And you've had some great calls this week, man. Dr. Fred and Trey, I'd love to get in a room with those two and just listen for a while,
Yeah, I have to say, Dr. Fred was a 96-year-old surgeon from Louisiana that called in this week. I was really blown away by him.
Absolutely. Well, I'll get to my question real quick and then get out of the way. Back home in Arkansas, there have been a lot of local guys like Trey Biddy, John Neighbors, everybody kind of speculating and then even throwing out some kind of unconfirmed receipts that, when Kendall Briles started the flirtation process with Mississippi State, it lasted about a week. They all think that right then and there, Sam Pittman went out and got Enos and kind of had him in his pocket. Then Browse comes back, says, hey, I'm staying, I'm locked in. He even sends out the tweet with KJ, says, hey, ready to run it back, I'm here. And they basically are speculating and kind of talking around the edges of knowing that when Kendall Browse came back and said, hey, well, now there's this TCU job, do you guys want to match it? That Pittman and Juracek basically said, thank you for your service, showed him the door, and brought Enos in immediately. Do you feel like there's some truth to that?
I do, because, Dustin, we just got through talking about coaches who lie. Sam Pittman is not one of those. To me, he is one of the most honest coaches I've ever dealt with. And if he told me something, I would believe it.
Me too. Well, Paul, that's really all I wanted to know. Thank you so much for taking my call. I hope you guys all have a great weekend, and I'll look forward to catching up with you maybe next week.
You bet, Dustin. Always appreciate your calls. Josh in Queens, up next.
Paul, this is a time-traveling phone call. We're going to go back to November 6th, post the Tennessee-Georgia game, and I got to preface this by saying I am a Tennessee alum. Got to say, Paul, as a you are also a Tennessee alum. I don't think you use your platform strongly enough to make the case that we deserve to be in the playoff. And I heard a lot of talk from the Bammers about Bama deserves to be there. We beat Bama straight up. I was at the game, came down from New York, smoked a cigar, rubbed in a bunch of Bama fans' faces about how sweet the cigar was. That was great and all that. But I'm not calling about Bama.
Hey, by the way, Josh, the reason I did not lead the parade is that Tennessee did not deserve to be in after losing to South Carolina.
So I actually went to grad school at South Carolina, and I watched a lot of that game. And I think a lot of what happened in that Tennessee game is the rumors in Vol Nation about the drama in the locker room.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, by the way, Josh, none of that matters. They got bushwhacked in that game.
Well, I mean, but there was something up with that team. Well, if we played
Josh,
South Carolina 100 times, we win 99.
That's great, but that's part of football. But they still lost the game badly, and that's what cost them going. Had Tennessee won that game, they would have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but, like, look at TCU, and you look at these games. I watched multiple games. They almost lost to Baylor. They didn't deserve to be there. They got exposed. I honestly thought Michigan was going to beat the snot out of them, and then they were going to house Georgia. But I'm calling about the Georgia fans because, you know, our real rival is Alabama because we are the two traditional blue blood programs of the SEC. That's why I went to Tennessee. I'm from the New York City area. I didn't even look at Georgia as a realistic football school when I...
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.